I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Defecation occurs, as it often does on this podcast. Some people may say that the defecation is the podcast itself, but I will not go there. I will not go there.
Those heels.
Come on. 1,500 Chinese bots can't be wrong.
Exactly. You're not wrong about that. Exactly.
Oh my God.
That's so funny. Well, go ahead, Paul.
No, I think that's a perfect introduction right there.
Yeah, exactly. With that, let us begin this wonderful Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn, as always, and I am on the line with my good friend Paul Edwards. And
hello.
The long-absent Doctor Who expert, Barry Negrin, the resident Doctor Who scholar. Yay. But we're not here to talk about Doctor Who today.
Where the hell is Doctor Who?
Yeah, there is no Doctor Who to talk about. At least no new Doctor Who. We are here to talk about another time travel thingy that came out this
timey-wimey stuff.
Timey-wimey. We are here to chat about the latest Terminator film, Terminator Dark Fate. I think we all saw it this weekend. It's directed by Tim Miller, who's the guy who directed Deadpool, which is the biggest reason that I wanted to see this myself. And yes, what can we say? I don't know. I will let one of you guys start, since I think you both may have a more positive opinion about this movie than I did.
I have a question. Did anyone see the one before this one?
I did not.
Genesis, I saw like 20 minutes of it on HBO and I shut it off. Like, that's how bad that was. Why? Did you see it? Did you like it?
No. I mean, that was the moment when I felt like I sort of had given up on the franchise,
sure.
You know, like I was just like, yeah, you know, fuck it. I'll never watch another Terminator movie. And then they brought me back for this one because Tim Miller was a good get. I thought that, you know, having enough of the original cast on board was, you know, enough of a gimmick to get me in the seat. So that was my feeling coming into it. My bar was set super low for this.
That's
good.
So, you know, so it cleared the bar, but you know, it worked really hard to clear that bar because it had a lot of stuff working against it too. Yeah. You know, I'll just give you my overall reaction first, and I would just sort of put it at like, you know, it's good, you know, but like it's not anywhere close to T2, which in turn was nowhere close to T1, you know. It's, you know, definite law of diminishing returns on this one for me.
Sure. And I'll let Barry get his thoughts in, but I would also like to sort of talk a little bit more about like our thoughts about Terminator in general. But go ahead, Barry. Go ahead.
So I think I might be, for the first time in Part-Time Fanboy history, the most positive review of all of everybody. I really enjoyed it. I actually thought it lived up to the T2 mantle. It was, to me, the fact that it was actually very, very similar to the first two, it makes it no worse than, say, The Force Awakens was, being a new hope, or just episode 4 with a bigger Death Star. Sure. I mean, I get that it was a little derivative of the original, but, you know, there were a lot of great things about it. I thought visually it was pretty stunning, except for some of the aerial stuff I had trouble following. But a lot of the fight scenes were incredible. I greatly enjoyed. Now, normally when the action slows down and it gets to the talky parts, I'm happy to, I enjoy a nice talky film, but you know, for an action film, it's like, come on, keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And that was like my big complaint with T2. But here, when they were holed up in the talky area, and I won't jump ahead, but you know, so we can actually get to it in a somewhat better fashion. I really enjoyed it. I liked the interactions between Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I mean, yes, they're, you know, the old guard, but I thought they donned their personae very nicely, very comfortably, and I thought that they evolved them in a really wonderful way, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get behind you on the it was nice to see them again, you know.
But well, for me, Linda Hamilton, it was nice to see her. I don't give a crap about Schwarzenegger, but her, yes, it was great to see her. But anyway, continue.
So, I mean, I guess before I would really talk about why I like what they did, we have to really talk about what they did. So, I mean, you want to jump into the plot at all? Or? Well,
sure, but Paul was about to say something too. So what were you going to say, Paul?
Oh, no. I think that's a good – I think we should jump into the plot for sure.
Sure. Well,
into the plot such as it is.
Yeah, such as it is. I mean, I don't know. For me, I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of like the background of – because we've mentioned T1 and T2 and stuff like that. And for me, like Terminator 1, the original film, is perfection. Like I find the screenplay to be – super tight, the action to be great, the tension and everything, the payoff at the end to be like fantastic. I mean, it's sort of like a downer, sort of like, you know, leave you hanging ending. But I mean, I love the first Terminator movie. I think Michael Biehn is great. I think, you know, everyone's fantastic. Obviously, there is a bit of you have to deal with sort of like the technology that they were given at the time, you know, particularly with that scene where Schwarzenegger's kind of like cutting up his own face. But, you know, as far as like story is concerned, I think Terminator is perfect. And this is sort of going to lead into why I didn't hate this movie. I just didn't super like it either. I felt like that this particular movie kind of like insulted my intelligence in a lot of ways. And I was just like, I could not keep going for that ride with the level of dopiness that they kept giving me, which is the problem, part of the problem that I had with T2. Like T2 is like an amazing action movie. The effects changed the cinema landscape, you know. I was going to say John Carpenter, James Cameron, you know, is an amazing action director.
The other action director, JC. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but the thing with this T2 that really bugs me is that it's really a movie that exists for like no reason other than to have a sequel. They never, like at the end of the first Terminator, they never talk about, Michael Biehn never mentions another Terminator coming back. They never mention like any of that. And then all of a sudden there's this other Terminator hunting, you know, Edward Furlong down. And it's just like, what? And they never go to any big length to like explain it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to me, like, it helps to sort of put it into movie history context. I mean, when The Terminator came out, it was a low budget, action thriller.
Absolutely.
I mean, they weren't thinking about a sequel. They were just lucky to get that one on the screen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, when it became such a hit and Schwarzenegger sort of had that 1-2 combo of The Terminator and Conan back-to-back.
Yeah,
you know? So he just became, like instantly blew up and became the world's biggest superstar. And like, they made all this money from it. And so, yeah, of course they were going to go back to that well, and then make the sequel, you know? So it's like, yeah, they definitely, it's always, to me, the Terminator franchise has always been a very mercenary franchise, you know, like it's sort of unapologetically done to make money, which is kind of sad that they didn't really make any money on this last one.
Yeah.
But, you know, but while they were doing it, you know, at least with T2, you know, the idea was to push the genre sort of as hard as it could go too, you know, because the first one, you know, they would have loved to have done more, but they were hampered by the budget. So in the second one, they're like, okay, let's do what we wanted to with the first one, you know, and also, you know, digital effects came into it. And even that, I think there's less than 5 minutes of digital effects in T2, right?
I'm like, not
there's
sure.
There's really not a lot of it because they sort of mixed it in with the practical really well in a way that, you know, a lot of movies don't do now.
Yeah.
Now they go like 100% CG. And that mix there was sort of like just created this beautiful little like soft spot, you know, of like believable special effects. And it's never quite hit the mark. It's never hit that high bar since then, you know, at least, you know, they've tried, you know, but it was just like groundbreaking. And yeah, you know, there's just so many times you can be groundbreaking,
well,
you know.
You know, it's interesting to me oh, no, go ahead.
No. I just think that it's, again, it's sort of like hard to hold it up to like that giant standard of number one, you know, because that was like so pure, you know, just like, yeah, I don't think you can hold it up to that standard, but I think it does, you know, as far as a sequel goes, it's no worse than T2 as a sequel.
What, you mean this one?
Well,
I mean, the thing is that I think the other thing that I really wanted to say about T2 that really just bugged me was sort of like the warm and fuzzy Terminator of like the very ending. Where he's
no wonder
like,
you hated this one. Then.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so dumb to me. The end of the movie where he's like, now I know why you cry, and it is something I can never do. And they lower him into the vat, and it's like thumbs up. And I just remember being I must have been like 18, whatever, 19 when this movie came out. And I just hated that. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is so dumb. Because I mean, they're just taking like this killing machine, what it was supposed to be a killing machine, and they're just trying to make him like a warm and fuzzy sort of like teddy bear. And Edward Furlong is like, no, don't, you know, you can't be melted and blah, blah, blah. And I just like, I was like, oh God, really? Are we doing this? And so, yeah, the things that bug me about T2 were like magnified tenfold in this movie. And I don't think for a better result. I actually think it makes it worse. Now,
so interesting you say that, because, you know, I mean, I totally get what you're saying about the despising the warm and fuzzy. I mean, that was the reaction I had when I saw E.T. when I was 13. I was like,
sure,
this movie is garbage. I hate this alien.
No.
I hate everybody in it. I was a dark teen. But now, 37 years later, oh my God, I saw Dark Fate, and I actually was not. I actually enjoyed Carl, for lack of a better. I thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, because everybody loves a nice redemptive arc. I mean, it's like, for example, Angel in Buffy. You know, he was a killing machine. And he's a vampire with a soul and became very, you know, tortured. And, you know, everybody loved him. I have to draw on Doctor Who, because that's what I do. Rusty the Dalek who saw beauty and despised his own kind so much so that he actually became one of the good guys. And now I think that, you know, Carl fits in nicely in that pantheon.
Oh, no, he does not. It is so ridiculous to me. Like, but I don't even want to go down that hidey hole because I think that that's just like not even a fight worth fighting for me because it's just so ridiculous to me that it's like nothing that I even really want to address. But the other thing that I wanted to say, like of my own personal thing, is I was thinking about it and, you know, I don't even necessarily consider myself like a Terminator fan, you know what I mean? Like a fan of like Terminator. Mm-hmm. But right. Then I was thinking about it and I was like, dude, I saw Terminator 3 in the theater and I liked it. I liked Terminator 3. I think that it's not perfect. You know, it's not T2, it's not T1, but it shoots through the fences. There's a couple of really great fight scenes. And the ending to me is what makes it, where they're just like, oh yeah, it happens. Like nuclear war happens. And I was like, oh my God, like they're actually doing this, like they're ending it this way. You know what I mean? And it was sort of the, you know, fulfillment of everything that had sort of been promised in two, you know what I mean? Even though they tried to stop it, and it sort of like takes care of any sort of paradoxes, right? Like it goes.
Yeah, well, you know, that didn't happen now.
Yeah. Well, okay. And we'll get to that, which is, you know, this is the real reason why I very much despise, or not very much despise, but have a lot of problems with Dark Fate. But then, you know, and then Terminator 4, you know, a lot of people trash on that and it's not great, but I saw it in the theater and I was like, not great, but at least they tried to do a movie in the sort of a future apocalypse, which is the thing that fans have kind of wanted forever. You know what I mean? And then I also realized that I watched the first season of the Terminator TV show, which I did not hate. Yeah. I was, you know, it had problems, but whatever.
Actually, yeah, that's actually some of my favorite Terminator is that TV show.
Yeah. There's a lot of like really neat stuff in there. And then,
well, you can't beat Shirley Manson. That's why.
Well, that's, she's cool. And it's cool because they sort of start, you know, they elaborate on a lot of the big ideas that like the universe brings up, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, and it's funny because I feel like Terminator as a concept is so much more suited to television now than it is to movies.
Probably,
and that's weird.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things are now, right? Because I mean, the TV scope has just like opened up, you know, and given you more breathing room, where a movie gives you like maybe 2.5 hours max, unless you're, you know, Martin Scorsese, who's doing a 3.5 hour, you know, The Irishman, but my point being is that, you know, I saw Terminator 4. I did not see Genesis because as soon as you cast Emilia Clarke as Sarah Connor, I was out. I mean, you know, she's a fine actress, whatever, but I'm just like, no, she's just not Sarah Connor to me. So I definitely have a desire to like see these movies like in the theater and, you know, follow up on whatever mythology they sort of have or see where they go. And I think that it's the sort of coolness of the concept that I love. Like, I love the idea of like, you know, we grew up in the 80s, this sort of like apocalypse and, you know, war and cyborgs and the day. Yeah, all that stuff is just like fascinating to me and also very terrifying to me. So this sort of like mythology, while I don't necessarily see myself as a Terminator fan, there's something about it that I must like because I keep going back to it. And I hadn't had that realization until after I came out of this movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just kind of shocked. Yeah. But oh no, go ahead.
No, yeah, I totally understand you because it's like it's part of our cultural landscape now, you know?
Sure.
I mean, the Terminator, like, yeah, I mean, we're back, it's kind of funny. It's like we're sort of back to those times, you know? We're back to the sort of neo 80s now of of the 2010s, and you know, it is funny to be back in that spot and have another Terminator movie, but you know, it just doesn't. But for it to not, it didn't land the same way that first one did, or even, you know, the second one with me. But you know, who's to say that it's not for a new audience?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that. Like, I mean, so, it's just, I see this movie as so much of a rehash of, like, what came before. And that's sort of the weakness of the Terminator franchise, is that they sort of failed. And it's interesting that you, what you said about the TV show, because there's so many, like, interesting concepts, and all they keep doing is going back to the same well, which is, like, how many times, like, I remember I was listening to a podcast, a stand-up comedian, a female comedian, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but I'll never forget, like, listening to her talk about the Star Wars movies, and she was like, she was like, I was sitting in the theater and, you know, watching this trailer for the new Solo movie, and she's like, how many times am I going to have to see this shot of, like, behind the Millennium Falcon of, like, in and out and weaving, and she's like, how many times do I have to see that? And for me, like, Terminator has never really, you know, except for maybe the fourth movie where it was, and the TV show where they were trying to expand on something, maybe not perfectly, but has never really gone past the sort of, like, basic concept of, like, a chase movie. You know what I mean? And, and that's sort of, like, disappointing, because I thought that this chapter would bring something really kind of new to it. And it does, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, and to sort of to get to talk about the plot a little bit, you know, I mean, come on, guys, we spoilers, you know, for anybody who's seen this, has not seen this movie and is going to. Dude, they kill John Connor in the first 5 minutes of the fucking movie. Like, I mean, this is like, you know. To me, this is basically
it sucks, man. Because, like,
totally,
you know,
totally sucks.
Like, they did it to Michael Bane in, like, Alien 3, and now they're doing it to his kid.
Yeah,
in this movie, you know.
like the thing of it is, the thing that drives me nuts is, and that's exactly what I equated it to, is like Alien 3, where it's basically you just crapped on anything that came before. Because, I mean, look, I've watched. The two greatest Terminator movies are 1 and 2, right? I mean, I don't think there can be any dispute about that. So now, in the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes of this movie, basically any of that survival, any of that thing that those characters gained, any of that goodwill and stuff that just, like, that you sat through and you were like, John Connor's going to grow up to be, you know, and the other movies and the other TV shows, like, John Connor was the thing. And you're telling me that A, he just gets killed in the first 5 minutes because, like, oh, we can't get Edward Furlong or, you know, whatever. Or, and then the other thing too is, like, it just doesn't make any sense because they stopped Skynet in the second one. So who the hell sends back that Terminator? Like, that Terminator's not coming from any future that ever existed. So, like, none of this makes any sense from the get-go.
Can I interject something?
Sure.
Guess whose plot point do you think that was?
I don't know. You tell me.
That was James Cameron's plot point. He wanted to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He wanted to kill
John Connor in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think
that's
because
asinine.
Because he wanted to get your attention. He wanted to be like, hey, this isn't like the other Terminator movies, you know. So
it did not, like, get my attention at all. Like, but the thing is, this movie ends up being exactly like all the other Terminator movies.
True.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because you definitely, I mean, and. That's the problem. I mean, anytime you start opening up to time travel, you know, you just introduce these alternate realities and things like that. And the backstory behind this one becomes so convoluted that it just sort of eats itself.
It really
and
does.
It's just like, so here's my take on this, and I'll see if I can try to explain the Arnold character here.
Oh, God. I can't even. I was laughing.
So here's the deal.
Sorry, Barry, but I was.
It's okay.
So Skynet, or, you know, Legion, you know, whatever
now
it is, the machines.
Legion. Yeah.
The machines basically had a redundancy plan in case, you know, that fails to, like, succeed in a different way. And so essentially there's this war between humans and machine that's going on all of these different time scales, like, sort of simultaneously. So the T-800 that was sent to kill Edward Furlong here was not constructed by Cyberdyne. It was constructed by Legion. And it was sent to eliminate John Connor. But see, once you eliminate John Connor, then you have to eliminate the next human leader who becomes the uprising. And it just becomes this never ending string of machines going back, trying to kill, you know, like.
But that's not even the thing is they say in this movie that John Connor's future was erased, like that right. In the second movie, they erase right. Like Cyberdyne again, and all that.
Okay, but yes, you erase him. Somebody else gets that job, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if you take out John Connor. Some human being will always rise up.
We're very scrappy,
machines,
true.
You know, so it just sort of it does. It becomes this like giant game of like historical, like assassination with robots. I mean, it sort of boggles the mind because you literally could have like Terminators everywhere or every win. You know. So why they decided to go back with this, you know, I don't know.
I mean, that's the sort of failure. Oh, no, go ahead, Barry.
So the sense is that, you know, the sending entities, either living or not, back in time is very cost prohibitive. Even if you're from the machine world and you don't actually use money, it requires a tremendous amount of energy and resources. Sure. So they can't really do it, you know, send back a million Terminators because, A, that would kind of ruin the past, and then everyone would be dead anyway.
They could send enough Terminators to keep the movie franchise going, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, and, you know, and Skynet did send, I mean, according to what Schwarzenegger's character said in this film, in Dark Fate, they sent back multiple Terminators in different times, like, you know, so they staggered them a little bit so that they could try to catch John Connor at some point.
And great, but the thing of it is like you're trying to tell me that like what, like he just shows, and that's the thing, that is the failure of sort of this the second movie to me, where it's just like where one made it sort of like very unique and special, two kind of like sends Schwarzenegger back again with another Terminator, and they never explain it, they never go into it, they never, you know, because in the first movie it was like, oh, we could only make one trip. And they could only send back one machine, and that was it. And now in this time, they say, like, oh, they could send back multiple Terminators. But the thing of it is, too, is, like, but the best movie of the whole, what people consider the best movie of the whole franchise, a lot of people like two more than one, you know, shows this scrappy little guy, you know, being able to escape a Terminator and a badass mom. And then you're reducing all of that sort of, like, triumph and, you know, ability to adapt to things in 5 minutes, you know, and you're just throwing out the whole thing that any sort of like fan of this has ever built up. Am I making any sense?
You are making a lot of sense. And I think actually what's coming out now in my hearing you talk about this is that I don't believe I saw T3 or T4.
Well, no, I'm like, you don't.
So like, this explains why I really had no, you know, attachment to when they gunned down John Connor in the first 5 minutes. It's like, I was still thinking of him as Ed Furlong from T2. I'm like, you know what? He was kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, no, for me, it's more the legend. It's not even the movies that came after. You know what I mean? I mean, in all honesty, like in any of those movies, none of the actors was like super care. No one was as charismatic as Michael Biehn. You know what I mean? Nobody like lived up to that, you know, because anytime you would see John Connor, even Christian Bale, like he didn't live up to that. So anyway, continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, but so like, I guess I still might have PTSD over when they destroyed Vulcan in the modern Star Trek movies.
Oh,
I'm like, wait, what did you just do? You totally destroyed the entire canon. Now we've got this whole new storyline. Okay, fine. That's the sense that I'm getting that you're feeling here when they killed John Connor. You're like, what did you just do? And I get that, but you know, I liked seeing Linda Hamilton again. You know,
oh,
I like
too.
And she wasn't in. So let's take at least 5 minutes to stop bashing Dark Fate and say how great Linda Hamilton was.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
I think she more than. I mean, she goes away for a big part of the movie, and you know, only you know to make her dramatic entrance. But I missed
which
her.
Makes
you
no know, sense I missed, either.
I agreed. But the journey that you see her go through in the whole series is pretty phenomenal. You know, from that like little waitress, you know, into, you know, what she is. And it's been cool to see her develop that over the years. Mm-hmm. The Arnold Schwarzenegger character.
I can't.
Actually, here's the deal. I felt a little sad there. I felt a little sad because I realized it was like Schwarzenegger in its own way. It was really touching because it's like, okay, he's not going to do this anymore. You know,
right.
he's done.
Oh, come on. How many times have we thought that he was not coming back for another movie and he just gets stuck back in there somehow? Like for me, the biggest beyond Carl, the drapes picker, you know, turning a Terminator into some like craftsman, you know, picking out drapes for children's room, which I
They're
found
infiltration
to be
units.
Completely ridiculous. Yeah, infiltration units in an apocalypse future where, you know, they're not picking out drapes or whatever.
He had a lot of time on his hands.
Dude, they're meant to infiltrate whatever society, you know, throws at them. And to me, it's that I really enjoyed the idea of Carl. And I sort of appreciated what they did there with like, okay, this machine's running on these parameters and it doesn't know what to do, you know, and it's realizing over time that it's accumulating all of these humanity seeming things, but it's not a human, you know?
Yeah, I buy that machine was created to be a killing machine and to infiltrate and to kill in a certain way. But I've never, you know, to me, that whole thing was just beyond dopey. Like as soon as he shows up and then it's like, you know, you're sort of getting into this whole like thing of like Sarah Connor. And the only reason that Sarah Connor does anything that she does is because she's getting text messages from the male robot that killed her son. Like I'm so like for John, like what connection does he have to John? Why does he's not the robot from the second movie, which is like,
no,
now
not.
I know why you cry, it is something I can never do. So what connection does he have to John Connor? He doesn't have any connection other than the fact that like what he killed him and then realized that it was a bad thing to do later on. I mean, all of that stuff was just so obviously like let's force the actor into this role as opposed to like having a story that, you know, would have developed around him. And I just felt like Schwarzenegger was so shoehorned into this that it drove me crazy.
I don't think anybody put a gun to his head and said you must do this movie.
No, of course not. But of course I'm sure he was like, yes, where do I sign up, you know what I mean? But but the thing of it is that the script is just like, we've got to have a good guy Terminator, right? And it's just we already have that sort of with the lead female character. So now we have to have Schwarzenegger.
Who's pretty fantastic also.
Oh, she's amazing. She was great. What's her name?
Mackenzie Davis.
From Halt and Catch Fire, right?
Yeah. Well, and she was also in probably one of the best episodes of Black Mirror ever, which I can't remember.
San Junipero.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Great. You know, she's a great actress, but and she's fantastic in this. Like, I love the whole concept of like an enhanced. Like, I was very much like thinking like, oh, how did they never think of that before? Like, come on, if the Terminators are making, you know,
cyborg robots. Why aren't humans like trying to, like, I thought that was like a really great concept. I think Paul, you kind of mentioned this a little bit before. I love the sort of inevitability of like the apocalyptic future. Like, no matter what you do, here it comes.
It's going to come. Yeah. It's going to happen one way or another. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. Humanity's screwed.
Be ready.
And we're so stupid. What can you do?
Yeah. Yeah. And so those are sort of like the things I did like a lot. I liked the new female Sarah Connor, Natalia Reyes. I liked her up until you got to the point where they flash forward and she's like the rebel leader. And
I didn't really buy her there.
Oh, no way. Like, she makes that speech about like, this is what the robots want us to do. They want us to fight. And I was just like, oof. I was like,
yeah, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. Anytime you push any actor into, hey, you're the savior of humanity, go.
Sure.
Like that. Yeah. It's never good for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I did not buy her as like sort of like Linda Hamilton. Like, they sold it to me like in the second movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
In this movie, I just, maybe she didn't have enough training time, whatever. I was just like, she's like 5 foot, if anything, you know, and she looks like she could blow away in the wind. I was like, no, she's not kicking anybody's ass. You know what I mean? And so I just didn't buy her as somebody you would follow.
You know, it's so funny because as a fellow short person,
I'm short too.
I think he's still about an inch taller than me. I had no problem with that because she struck me. I mean, she went through the same type of arc that Linda Hamilton did originally. As you know, she's upset, she's scared. They murdered her whole family, and you know, then she's sort of channeling her rage into getting things done. And then we're not leaving anybody behind. We're not leaving Sarah off the chopper. And you know, she really, I thought she stepped into the role, and I liked. The fact that she's short to me, I've known plenty of short women who could kick your ass.
Sure.
You know, from fourth grade.
But she didn't sell it for me. She did not sell it for me. I mean, she, you know, she did not seem forceful in her demeanor. She did not seem like somebody who, you know, would fight you to the death if you needed to, like Linda Hamilton.
She needed better material in her future self.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I didn't see her quite grow into that. Although I did see her definitely change, you know, from the beginning to the end.
She had an arc.
Yeah, I didn't see that sort of John Connor-esque, you know. That sort of, I guess, the gravitas that would come with surviving all of that crazy shit.
Exactly.
You know, I thought you started to see some of that when she said she wasn't going to let Grace die again, when she saw her on the playground in like 2019 or 2020. She already started to like bring that, you know, sort of grim stoicism. I thought that between 2020 or whenever that was, and you know, 2038, when she's got to really step up and keep humanity together, she's got some time to grow into the role.
Sure. Well, here's the thing is, you know, the long and short of it for me, like, as far as this movie is concerned, is like, I don't think it's like a terrible movie. Like, I think if you're going to see like an action movie and you want to check your brain at the door and you want kicking and fighting and jumping and humping and whatever, and like, like all that sort of like sort of future gobbledygook that you don't really need to apply like any real thought to, this is fine. Like, you're going to have a good time. The people in my theater, like, they had a really good time. But the thing of it is I don't see it as any better than like Terminator 3 or 4. Like, to me, it's, except for the action sequences, which in this movie, I mean, I will admit there's a lot of really good action sequences. Although the Gabriel Luna Terminator did look like he was made out of rubber several times jumping around. They really needed to work on that CGI, because when he's jumping around the room sometimes, I was very much like, that looks like he's made out of rubber. Like, I don't even know what's happening there. Like, it was, and to me, which was shocking, because if you can get like Marvel to make a movie where there's like superheroes jumping around and they look, you know, pretty darn good, the fact that James Cameron would produce something like this and be okay with the way that that looked, I was kind of stunned.
You know, the digital effects in the Terminator series have always been a little wonky.
T2 is really good.
Well, that's because it was the first time. I mean, you know.
It kind of holds up, though, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean,
it's not my favorite.
Well, it's because a lot of the, you know, I guess a lot of the digital effects haven't really advanced beyond that. It's like, again, how many pools of liquid like turning into a person shots have there been, you know, sure, since then? And so a lot of this, and remember too, a lot of those digital effects were enhanced with practical effects.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
But like I would say, but that from T3 on, like they've always looked a little wonky.
Sure, sure.
To me.
Because.
Dude, those Stan Winston practical Terminators were fucking scary.
Yeah, you know? They were badass.
And I don't think anything has matched those since then.
Well, and that's the thing. Again, going back to this movie doesn't really, like, it doesn't give you anything new. You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing that it gives us new and the thing that I appreciated were Latinx actors.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, lots of representation.
Loved all that. I loved, mm-hmm. again, I'll say Mackenzie Davis. Like, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing of it is like, do we really have to throw... And you know, I've seen a lot of fans, like, trashing this movie as far as like representation and like female and like whatever. And, you know, I mean, I called like way early in the movie that Danny was going to be the savior. She was not going to be the one to, like, you know, I was like, okay, I know that that's coming, but I mm-hmm. really feel that there was a way to sort of, like, you know, and I get that things have to evolve and stuff like that, but there could have been a way to sort of, like, keep the mythology intact to a certain extent and sort of be mm-hmm. respectful to, like, what came before and the things that we have, like, really, the mythology that a lot of us have, like, sort of enjoyed about the franchise, instead of just throwing everything out and being like, here's your new figurehead. Because quite honestly, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, I mean, she's not giving birth to the guy, but then once he's born, Edward Furlong is the guy that you got to protect. And in this one, Danny's the woman that you have to protect. And it's just like, you know, and the other thing too that bugs me in this movie is they keep throwing around the line, like, choose your own fate. You'll choose your own fate. Like, you'll choose. She's not choosing her own fate. She's going to live through an apocalypse and be the leader of the, you know, resistance or whatever. She's not choosing anything. There's none of that. So a lot of that sort of dialogue is a little bit of, like, lip service, but you know, the thing of it is like,
well, we can all choose our own fate except for Danny. She's sort of stuck.
I guess. And Edward Furlong, I guess, like, he was destined to be shot.
He's contractually obligated. We're going to get every last fucking movie out of that guy, you know?
It was,
I'll be honest with you. That was one of my, it was so cool to see, how far aging and de-aging makeup has come in the time, because do you remember the bonus scene at the end of Terminator 2?
You ever see
that, like, on the DVD where they make her up to be, I think, supposed, like, to be about the age that she is now. And, like, and the makeup's, like, you know, it's not good, it's really cool to see, like, how, you know, how, what those guys and girls did back then in those early Terminator movies, how it's turned into something completely different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they really, as whether it was a good movie or not, there's no denying that Terminator 2 changed movies, like, the way that we can look at them.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing is, though, is, like, what, how many years ago was it? 20, 30 years that Terminator 2 came out, that the thing of it is that at least in this franchise, nothing has really grown beyond it. I mean, like, oh, okay, ooh, this Terminator can split into two. Like, I'm like, okay, well, wow, great. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so far that this thing has gone. And, you know, there's a scene where they flash to the future and Mackenzie Davis and... Mackenzie Davis is some sort of, like, Marine or something, and they're fighting these Terminators, and there's these, like, two Terminators with, like, tendrils and stuff like that, and there's a part of me that is thinking, like, watching this movie, why does the Terminator have to be bipedal? Like, can't he change into something else? Like, why is he so stuck in, like, a human form? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't they, like, at least in T2, they tried to make him, like, liquid and stuff. But once he's sort of, like, past the need to, like, hide his identity, you know, why isn't he just turning into, like, a giant, like, you know, with machine guns, like, flowing? You know what I mean? Like, there's scenes in this movie where he, like, attacks in the most impractical ways, which is, like, basically a low-budget Wolverine. Like, he turns his hands into, like, sharp blades, and I'm like...
Once their AIs begin to develop imagination, then they'll be able to do that. But
I hope they don't, because that's horrifying.
Somebody should.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Carl can develop emotion, why hasn't the future AI in the future developed? Like, because the other thing too that sort of has developed in the years that have gone by is the idea of artificial intelligence, right? Like with Skynet or whatever, they were going to be very cold, very sort of like emotionless things. And now that as artificial intelligence and, you know, the singularity and all this stuff that we're becoming afraid of now, which is funny because we're still stuck on nuclear war. And this kind of addresses that a little bit. But, you know, the thing of it is that with artificial intelligence, does emotion sort of develop? You know what I'm saying? So what is that? What is Legion in the future? You know what I mean? Where Skynet was sort of like the 80s, 90s concept of like what this thing could be. Legion must be something, you know, else. And they just sort of relegate it to the same thing. It's like Legion is Skynet, but it's just not Skynet. It's called Legion.
And no, it's no different than, it's no different than The Force Awakens saying, oh, that's not a Death Star. It's much bigger.
But
it looks like a ball and it shoots at me and it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, and that's
not
sort of
Facebook. It's all caps Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the thing is that this is very much sort of like falling in the vein of like the Star Wars movies. But the thing with the Star Wars movies is that they were so few and far between for years that you were just dying for that, just that nostalgic and that feeling that the first three gave to you. With this one, there have been sequels upon sequels upon sequels. And, you know, while it's a fun sort of action ride, like to me, if you apply any sort of basic thought to this, like everything just falls apart. Like I was just like, and I couldn't get past it. Like I was just like, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that this robot has been walking around for like 30 years and nobody's ever noticed that like he's, you know, and the whole sort of thing of like, our relationship is not physical. She loves me I'm like, oh, groan, eye roll in the back of my head. Like, you know what I mean? I'm very much sort of just like, I hope, Paul, that you're right, that this is the end of Schwarzenegger's involvement. Because A, Schwarzenegger as a person, kind of dodgy, in my opinion, you know, cheating on his wife and all that stuff. And then, you know, B, it's just that robot story has been told. You know what I mean? And the TV show, you know, as good or not good as it was, sort of gave you a taste of like Terminator without him at all. And, you know, it was good, you know, and like, there's something to build on there. And I just feel like, okay. And the other thing that I very much had a problem too was, and the climax, you know, Danny does step up to to the Rev 9, right? But it's Schwarzenegger who has to have his movie star moment and be the one to like deliver sort of the final blow, like at the bottom of that pit or whatever, you know what I mean, where he's dragging it down and, you know, he's like, I'm, you know, and I just thought that was lame. I thought it should have been Danny somehow who delivers, very much like, you know, if you're gonna rehash the first one, why not rehash it all the way?
You're terminated, fucker.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't get that moment. And for the longest time, it's all the other characters fighting this machine. And she finally kind of steps up. And then when she does step up, she's not the one to finish him off. And that just bugged the hell out of me.
Because you know what I will say about this movie is that it does have the most, like, sort of low budget spirit, you know, compare, like, you know, that, like, sort of like the first one, how it just was like, okay, we're going to go and, you know, just go. It has a lot of the same spirit of it, but like, it just, the, I don't feel that script wise, it quite makes the mark, because I mean, dude, you know, talk about the representation. This, you know, it's like, is there an award for strongest female written by six men?
You know,
because yeah, this script, like, I mean, if you just look at the number of like credited screenwriters,
yeah, I know,
they've been trying to find a way to shoehorn this thing in, you know, and make it fit, and they may have done the best they could, I don't know, but yeah, it definitely left me with a lot of questions, you know, and not in the, wow, isn't this cool? It's more of the like, wait, what kind of questions? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, it's really funny you say shoehorn, because that is really my problem with Schwarzenegger's character. I just felt like why do we need this guy? And then, you know, not to put Linda Hamilton's character down, because I did love the bit where she's like, I'll be back. You know what I mean? Like, like, I loved all that stuff. She's badass. She's been working out again or whatever. I've always loved her as an actress. I liked Beauty and the Beast. She's solid. Like, I have no problems, but I did have problems with her character, because it's like, there's a thing that I kept thinking about where, Mackenzie Davis is facing off against her in the hotel room, and Linda Hamilton's like, well, I've been through this before. I was her. And sort of like, when you sort of realize that Linda Hamilton's future isn't coming, there's a part of me that the usefulness of her character sort of disappears. You know what I mean? Where I'm just like, well, so what are you doing here? Because there's Mackenzie Davis, and that's kind of like all we really need, or we should need. And you, and Linda Hamilton and Schwarzenegger are there for the nostalgia factor. And as much as I loved Linda Hamilton being there, you know, the part where she starts talking to Mackenzie Davis about, like, I came from a different future and this has happened before. Like, there's a part of me that I really would have liked to see Mackenzie Davis just be like, you're crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like address her like everybody else does. You know what I mean? And Linda Hamilton sort of have to fight to like regain that cred. I mean, obviously that story would be believable to the Mackenzie Davis, but there's a part of me that just felt like once Linda Hamilton was like saying like, oh, I stopped the future, I stopped another future from happening, there's definitely a part of me that's like, that how the other characters are very much like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, I believe you 100%. You know what I mean? Instead of like, this is some crazy tagger on. And then the other thing that I did not think was done effectively enough is Danny Ramos has been basically told that the apocalypse is coming. Everybody's going to die and the world is going to end. And she never has that. I wish they'd have given her that moment of like deep realization that Linda Hamilton, you know, kind of had, which, you know, when Kyle Reese was telling her in the first movie, like, this is it, this is going to end. And she finally sort of like ends up believing him because the Terminator's chasing after her. Like, she sells it. Like, you know what I mean? And she sells it in the second movie. And in this movie, I don't think it's the actress's fault. I just think it's the screenwriter and the director it's like, give her that moment.
Yeah, the way it's structured, you're just moving along so quickly. And they save, like, all of their exposition toward, like, you know, pretty far into the movie. You know what I mean? Like half of this movie is just like, you know, we can't talk now. Let's do this, you know? And so,
like, what are you doing? Science, future shit.
But they're... I think that that's why you don't end up with that moment, is because like you're just sort of barreling along, and then like, okay, here's the tracks that we're going to lay down so that you can get to the back third of this movie. Sure. And then, you know, it's a structure issue.
And you know, the thing of it is like Mackenzie Davis sort of being
like the female, like enhanced. Like the thing of it is I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at this movie and being like, oh, it's trailblazing because Mackenzie Davis. And I'm like, but we had Sarah Connor. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that there can't be more badass female characters, but you know, the scuttlebutt, the stuff that I've been reading online is like, oh, isn't it great that we have like this female enhanced? And I'm like, Sarah Connor did this 30 years ago, guys. Like this is nothing new, like a female standing up to the Terminator. And I mean, I think it's great and I think she does a great job, but again, so much of this just feels like a rehash and nothing sort of is a super breath of fresh air, except for, you know, maybe the fact that now it's a female sort of savior. And, you know, the ladies are in charge and it's like, okay, great. I mean, I'm all with that sort of messaging, yeah. But you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater for that. You know what I mean? It could have been like that. She was like John Connor's daughter or something. You know what I mean? Or someone from the even further in the future that they wanted to eliminate. But, you know, whatever, I guess we just have to, you know, knock down the past idols or. You know, it's not like they couldn't recast Edward Furlong, for God's sake, you know, as a grown up. I mean, I just don't get that choice. It just seems like a sort of like cutting off your nose to spite your face sort of thing, you know.
Well, thankfully, James Cameron's never been known to do that.
Yeah, I know, right? Thankfully, he's never been known to do that. Well,
I could honestly say the same thing about like any director, honestly, sure. You know, like because, you know, it you know, given enough time, like it happens to all of us. I feel like kind of this is it for the Terminator for a while, at least cinematically, at least theatrically. I feel like this is it for a while. So yeah. Do I feel bad that it's kind of going out on a note like this? Yeah, you know, but at the same time, like, a lot of other cool other things that are exploring the ideas that Terminator brought up. I mean, you've already mentioned Black Mirror, you know, the Terminator TV show, Ex Machina, you know, like there's the one thing that we can say about like that franchise is that it certainly opened up, you know, sci-fi to a lot more cool ideas. And, it would just have been nice to have seen, you know,
another new
cool idea come out of this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that for the Terminator franchise to survive, you know, it needs a visionary, and it's very much like sort of what's happening with Star Wars, which is like, okay, we want to kind of like rehash these nostalgic things, but the things that I have really enjoyed about Star Wars are like things like Rebels and, you know, new characters that you're sort of introducing into this universe. Yeah. And it's like, I'm tired of rehashing the same old thing and going back to the well. And if somebody can come up with an idea.
The real visionaries are out there doing their own stuff anyway. They're not doing franchise stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You're right.
Not yet.
So,
yeah, not yet. Yeah. I mean, they all get eaten by the machine, right, Barry?
That's true. That's right. A lot of them do get pulled in and become really good filmmakers too, you know? Yeah. I mean,
Tim Miller is an excellent filmmaker.
For sure. And I think that like in lesser hands, you know, or anybody else's hands, this would have been a really big mess. Sure, you know what I mean? Sure. And but he manages to keep it moving along well and, you know, he gets enough of those character moments right that it, you know, still felt for me. And again, like I felt happy to see those characters back again. Maybe not under these circumstances, but you know, it was still cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, well, Barry actually liked the movie, and I feel like we kind of walked all over him. Barry, do you have anything to say before we wrap up?
That's all right. I mean, I feel like it became very clear to me halfway through this or earlier that I didn't have as much emotionally invested in this franchise as the other two of you did.
You mean and if the Doctor had showed up and fought with the Terminator, you would have
been
more
nice. That would have been nice. Yeah. And, you know, I enjoyed the character development of the oldsters. If nothing else, I have to say, I mean, I'm sure it's makeup and some sort of effects, but Arnold Schwarzenegger looks great for a guy in his 70s.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, no, you should check out. I have not watched it yet, but apparently there's a documentary on Netflix. I do not remember the name right now, but that he took part in, and it's like Jackie Chan produced it. And it's all about how they've gone to vegetarianism and veganism and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And I know a lot of a couple of friends who have switched over to that sort of like lifestyle, and it's helped their health tremendously, because as we all know, like Schwarzenegger kind of had a heart problem years ago and had to have surgery. And again, I have not had a chance to watch it. I want to watch it, but I was like, oh, this seems interesting to me, even though I consider Schwarzenegger himself to be a bit of a dodgy human being. Mm. but no one can deny the effect that he's had on American health and, you know, getting people to exercise and embrace healthier lifestyles than he has. I mean, there's a little bit of also toxic masculinity in there, but I'm not going to touch that. In any case, yeah, that might be something to check out, because, I mean, you're right. He does look great. And Linda Hamilton looked great. And quite honestly, you know, even the youngins looked great. So
they did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that I would not recommend this movie, because I'm seeing that a lot of people have really liked it. I just had a lot of problems with the script. It does bug me that it's bombing so hard, because this is not a movie that I feel like in any way, shape, or form deserves to bomb.
I mean, but, you know, I know it didn't do well as well as expected, but it was still the number one film this weekend. I mean, yeah, maybe it was just a bad weekend, but weather was good and people didn't feel like going to the movies. I don't
know.
Yeah,
no, it could be anything, or it could be the fact that they keep rehashing this thing over and over again.
It could be.
You know, I've seen a lot of people say like, oh, I saw the trailer and it looks like this sort of like same exact thing that I've seen before. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it's not, that it, you know, it is. It is the same exact thing that you've seen before. But like Paul, I kind of feel badly that it's going out on this note. And I'm just going to say, like, I think I want to go back in the next week or so and watch Terminator 3 again, because, you know, despite all the silly, like, you know, a lot of people kind of trash the like female Terminator in it. But I like the whole like we are going through all the way with this, you know.
Yeah.
Like we are to me, fulfilling the apocalypse sort of prediction, you know.
Yeah, to me, the T3 is where they started breaking their rules. It's like they established all these rules, and that's where they started like breaking them with the, maybe it's okay if they bring guns through the, it's a movie, you know, and so, but yeah, I think
there's a body cavity joke in there somewhere. But go on.
For sure, I certainly enjoyed this one a lot more than I did Salvation or
Genesis.
Wasn't there another one? I didn't see Genesis. Was there another one in there? Man, it feels like there was another one.
Like,
but
10 of them. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's what's funny, because you said that, like, you know, it's what's funny though is that it has had fewer installments than Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, this franchise just keeps going. It never stops.
But,
it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. It won't stop until you're dead. Until everyone is dead, right? Much like this podcast has just kept going. that is pretty much, I think that's all we have to say. Any final thoughts or anything on Terminator Dark Fate?
It's okay. You know, it's not, it's not terrible. Your old friends are in it. Some new faces. The effects are pretty good. It's not, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily wait for cable on this one, because it's fun to see in the theater. But, you know, you don't have to go opening weekend.
Yeah. I think specifically for me, I just have problems with the script. I have problems with a lot of the structure. I hated Carl. I hate the fuzzy Terminator. I don't like any of that. I mean, as far as like Schwarzenegger's character is concerned, I think they pulled that off with Summer Glau in the Terminator TV show a bit.
Yeah.
But she was a different kind of Terminator. She was supposed to like blend into society and stuff like that. But in any case, I'm not going to tell you not to go see it. I just had problems with it. And, you know, if a lot of people out there like that, good. I mean,
it is a crazy action movie with a lot of like really big set pieces. So that's all I've got to say. Yeah. And with that, I will also say that this has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn. I have had two very good friends on the line, the Paul Edwards and the Barry Negrin. Thank you for joining me, gentlemen. It's always great to have you on the line.
Thanks for having us.
You can check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Bye.
I'll be back. Had to do it.
Part-Time Fanboy. Bye.